Your immediate source for local news is the all-new News Talk 92.3 WZPR, the talk of the Outer Banks.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Let's go to Sam Walker, right? He is our guy, our go-to guy in the Outer Banks.
Now here's Les Nessman at the news.
We get to the WZPR Breaking News Hotline. Joining us now, President of the North Carolina Rural Center, Patrick Woody, and from the Stewart Group, D. Stewart. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for joining us here on News Talk 92.3 WZPR.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And I want to start, Patrick, with you. I'm going to hold off on D because D and I actually went to Campbell together a quarter century ago. And we will close out talking about some reminiscing there for later. But Patrick, I want to get to you because you guys commissioned a survey with D's group called the Stewart Group to poll people about their thoughts on the health care coverage gap in North Carolina. Explain what exactly is a health care coverage gap and what you guys found with this poll.
Yes, the North Carolina Rural Center is one of about 65 organizations that belong to a coalition called Care for Carolina, and the mission of that coalition is to close the coverage gap, which really is the number of people in North Carolina that do not have any health care insurance. And we have a pretty good understanding of what those numbers are. There are about 600,000 people across North Carolina that do not have any health care coverage. They fall in that gap. They make too much money to qualify for Medicaid, so they are working, but they're earning not enough to pay for private health insurance, but too much to qualify for Medicaid, and they fall into the coverage gap. And it's one of the most chronic issues facing the economy of rural North Carolina, and that's the reason why we care so much about this issue.
Dee, give us a little details on how you conducted the survey and some of what you found.
Thank you. We conducted the survey on August the 26th and 27th by live telephone call statewide, North Carolina. We were able to reach those 613 people, and the margin of error was a little bit less than 4%. What we found was that the opinion of folks who were a little concerned that they might not have coverage, they might not be able to keep coverage for their families during this COVID time, has increased. The COVID situation has made folks more concerned about their own family's ability to keep coverage. One in three North Carolinians that we polled said that they were more concerned. And upwards of 44% of folks were concerned about friends or neighbors being able to have access to quality health care in these tough times. So folks are very concerned. We also found that among the top issues that we asked folks about in North Carolina, even more than economy and jobs and even more than some of the social unrest issues, COVID and curing that disease and eradicating the pandemic is the top concern of folks in the state. So the issue is ripe because of what's going on in the news right now and what's going on in society. Folks are interested in making sure people have coverage.
Now, Dee, you did break this down into a couple of places that happen to have what some would consider competitive races for state Senate, and that includes here in District 1. What were some of the findings you had from District 1?
What we found when we polled four state Senate districts across the state, and we did that because it looked like we wanted to test urban, we wanted to test rural, we wanted to test east, we wanted to test Piedmont, we wanted to test west. We found that it was consistent across the board. We found that across the board, 77% of folks want to close the coverage gap, and those folks want to close the coverage gap by expanding Medicaid. That was consistent in all the districts, including the state Senate district there in northeastern North Carolina. So what we found was it was sort of a monolithic opinion across the state, no matter whether a person lives in an urban area, a rural area, a coastal area, a mountain area, or any place in between. Folks are concerned about health care. They're concerned about having access to coverage for their health care expenses, and they're concerned about the public officials want the public officials to work out a solution to close the coverage gap.
Dee Stewart from the Stewart Group and Patrick Woody, president of the North Carolina Rural Center, here on News Talk 92.3 WZPR. Patrick, getting the survey results back, were you surprised? Were you shocked? Or was this really what you were expecting to see?
We were not surprised. We do a number of focus groups. We've held meetings in all 80 rural counties across North Carolina from one end of the state to the other. And this very much, and we're meeting with local leadership, community leaders, business leaders, elected officials. And this is very consistent with what we hear on the ground in terms of it is a great concern. You know, we're an economic development organization, so we care an awful lot about, you know, the right conditions for economic growth. And one that is just fundamental is the strength of the local health delivery system. And I can tell you, as I've traveled across the state, there is great concern about the health of our rural healthcare delivery system, because it's been really already financially vulnerable. It's been for obvious reasons, it's been weakened even further by the COVID pandemic. So it's of great concern to us. If you want to, you know, eliminate the possibility of economic progress, you know, if that local healthcare delivery system goes away, you've got fundamental problems with strengthening the local economy. And, you know, the 600,000 I mentioned is a number that's really pre-COVID. So we know that number has increased greatly. It's hard to get a good handle on that number. But what we do know is that in July of 2020, there were 354,000 fewer North Carolinians with jobs than there was in January of 2020. And we know that perhaps up to half of those, as they lost their jobs, also lost health care coverage, health care benefits. We don't know how long that lasts. It can be short term. It can be long term. It's probably a mix of the two. But this is a problem that is growing as we speak, and one that must be addressed.
Patrick, one thing that here in Northeastern North Carolina we've experienced well before the pandemic was hospital mm-hmm. closures, and it was directly tied to the lack of Medicaid expansion and Medicaid billing issues. We saw that in the hospital in Plymouth, which was able to reopen with the new operator. The hospital in Bellhaven, where you've got people who live in parts of Hyde County and Eastern Beaufort County that can drive 100 miles to get to their nearest hospital. And I know the North Carolina Rural Center has been doing some work in the background and up front to try and maybe you know, help alleviate this problem with especially in Northeastern North Carolina.
We have, and the most important thing we've been working to do is really to call attention to the economic case that would happen, the positive economic outcomes that would happen from closing the coverage gap. And in rural North Carolina alone, based upon research that was commissioned by the Cohn Health Foundation and the Kate B. Reynolds Charitable Trust, between that, if we expanded Medicaid in North Carolina between now and 2022, 11,500 jobs would be created in rural North Carolina alone, a total of about 40,000 jobs across the state. We would significantly chip away at that coverage gap. And the gross domestic product of rural counties would increase by nearly $2 billion as a result of that. So that's the economic case for eliminating the coverage gap.
Patrick Woody, president of the North Carolina Rural Center, D. Stewart from the Stewart Group in Raleigh, here on OBX Today on News Talk 92.3 WZPRD. This survey that you conducted had some other questions involved, but I wanted to get to a little bit different because we're focusing on the Medicaid issue. My wife is a pharmacist and gets on me all the time because I always confuse the two when we're talking about things like this. but your work, not only with this poll, but also as a consultant with a number of political campaigns and over your history and working even today with some legislators, it seems like that there is a very, very split right down the middle. This is one of the top issues that Governor Cooper talked about when he submitted his budget proposal, that he was disappointed that the Medicaid expansion was not included with the coronavirus 3.0. And at the same time, the leadership in the House and Senate said there's no way we can do this in a pandemic, and they weren't willing to do it before. What has been some of the stuff, the discussions about seeing things like this from voters who say they want to see this, but then you've got lawmakers who continue to push back?
Well, again, sometimes government and governmental action can be a lagging indicator, but public opinion research is a current indicator. I'm looking now just at Senate District 1, your district. We asked, do you favor or oppose a legislative solution being created to close the health care coverage gap? 64% of people in your area, Sam, support such a solution at the legislative level, while only 18% oppose. Then we asked another question. Do you favor or oppose the state of North Carolina expanding Medicaid so that people can qualify, helping to close the coverage gap? 70% of people in your area support expanding Medicaid to close the coverage gap. Only 25% of people oppose it. And again, the numbers vary with each group that we study within that total amount surveyed, but whether it's Republicans, unaffiliated, Democrats, all groups in some measure have a plurality or a majority supporting expanding Medicaid and closing the coverage gap. So typically what happens in politics is, again, government can be a lagging indicator, but once support from the public is overwhelming, with data like the data we see here, eventually the politicians tend to catch up and enact solutions that the people want. Or they have problems at the ballot box. I'm putting my political consulting hat on. But I tend to think that, again, politicians read polls, politicians read the news. They understand and are sensitive to the people's concerns. And eventually a solution will probably be enacted. My role in this was just to take a survey. We took the survey. We went where the numbers led us, and it's a real pleasure to highlight some of the needs that folks believe exist in northeastern North Carolina and across the state as it relates to healthcare coverage.
I won't put any more pressure than on you to take the you can keep the political consultant hat off for now. So we'll have to have you back on for that topic another day. Patrick, the Rural Center itself, not only is this something that you focus on, you've talked about this coalition of groups, but the Rural Center has been active in a number of other issues. And I know one of them has to be right now is trying to close the gap with internet service, especially here on the Outer Banks and northeastern North Carolina. We experience probably, you know, and we're you know, this area, our TV market is Norfolk. We are, a million plus people live right across the border from us, and we can't touch their internet, even though we do get part of our internet service from there. But if you look at it, the internet service coming to northeastern North Carolina lags behind so many parts of the country, and I know that's something that you guys really have tried to focus on, especially now with virtual learning and all the other stuff that we have going on with the pandemic.
Yeah. Well, the pandemic, I think, is really it shines a bright light on the what is also an imperative. We're all about closing gaps at the Rural Center, and the broadband gap is right up there with the coverage gap, as you well know, particularly in times when citizens are really, required and must be at home, must have an ability to access the internet in order for their kids to go to school, in order for their businesses to access resources that are available to them, in order to seek health care through telehealth or telemedicine. And there's no question but what the Northeast faces very specific challenges and has many areas that fall into that gap. We have made some real progress on closing that gap, that broadband gap in the state. My worry and my point would be that we have not made enough progress fast enough. And so we really have got to pick up the pace of deployment of last mile broadband to those rural areas that are unserved or underserved. And one of the biggest problems we have is our FCC maps that, if you go look, will tell you that 93% of the households in North Carolina have access to high speed broadband. And we know without question that those maps are not worth the paper they're printed on. And so we've done a lot with the state broadband office to get a better handle on the number of households. There's been a number of surveys taken during this COVID pandemic that put the number of unserved households well above 50%. And they're disproportionately rural. Now, there also are urban areas of this state that have some issues with service. But we've got to fill in those coverage gaps. It will take a comprehensive solution. There's not a simple, easy solution. If there was, it would already be done. But we've got to pick up the pace of delivering last-mile broadband to every citizen in this state.
Patrick Woody, president of North Carolina Rural Center, we're going to need to get you back on soon. And the reason I say it is because there's so many other topics that you guys cover and that the directly in the Outer Banks, affordable housing, the mayor of Manio just brought this up at the most recent Board of Commissioners meeting is the affordable housing problem we have here, economic development in these rural tier one counties, these tier two counties. We're going to have to get you back on real soon and have an in-depth extended conversation about all the stuff that you guys are focusing on. But I know the Medicaid thing is really what we were had you on for today. How can folks get more information about what these findings, what this survey has presented, and also how they can get involved and more information about the Rural Center?
Well, they can certainly find out everything they want to know about the Rural Center by going to our website, www.ncruralcenter.org. And to find out everything they want to know about this poll and about the Care for Carolina Coalition, they can also go to careforcarolina.org, and they'll find all the resources there.
All right, now,
Patrick, it's worth pointing out it's care, and then the number 4, Carolina, in the web address.
Correct. Absolutely correct. D, sorry.
No, thanks, D. And Patrick, if you will bear with me just a few seconds here. D. Stewart and I both were classmates at Campbell. Who would have thought that little group there, or a bunch of us, would end up having so much things we ended up doing across the state 25 years ago when we were sitting there in Carter Gym watching that basketball team. It's kind of funny how things work out, isn't it?
It really is, and I just wish we'd had that nice basketball facility and football team and fraternity houses and beautiful dorms and apartments and all that. I don't know what was wrong with us, why they didn't provide all that to us, but in all seriousness, no, Campbell was and is a great institution, and it's becoming one of the best in North Carolina and the Southeast, and I just can't wait to see all the great things that continue to lie ahead for Campbell. Dr. Wiggins and Dr. Wallace's vision was amazing, and it's continuing under Dr. Creed. So I'm very excited to see all the great things that are happening at Campbell. And every now and then I do run into some of our old classmates, and we reminisce, and we just can't believe all the wonderful things that are happening down in Little Bowie's Creek.
Yeah, exactly. I've got a friend here whose son is in a dorm that my wife Emily, when she was she lived in a trailer that was over next to Murray Dorm, you know, where we hit golf balls out the windows all the time. There's a dorm there now. It still shocks us, that little trailer she lived in for the first year of pharmacy school, and now there's this big dorm there. And then there's, of course, that football stadium right across 421 with a tunnel under 421. And a Chick-fil-A and all this other stuff. I mean, Bowie's Creek was – I always thought of Bowie's Creek as like Currituck County with a college dropped in it. It's not that anymore, and I know part of that is Raleigh's moved out there. But anyway, it's good to talk with you, Dee, and I know you said you come out to the Outer Banks. We'll have to get together next time you come out here. Patrick, do you ever get out here?
I sure do, yes, frequently, and not often enough. I love the whole area out there. We've got a lot of friends out there that we stay in close touch with, and can't wait for my next trip. I also want to say one thing is the only demon deacon on the call.
Oh.
But as president of the Rural Center, you have no bigger fan of Campbell University than me and the Rural Center. I do not know of a small rural town in this state that is not benefiting from the civic leadership and the presence of Campbell graduates. They're pharmacists, they're graduates of the business school, they're now civil engineers. There's a Campbell lawyer in every nook and cranny of rural North Carolina. That university, and soon to be doctors, this is a huge success story, the trajectory of Campbell over the last decade or so, and the impact it's having on rural North Carolina cannot be missed.
Yeah, it seems like I can't go anywhere even around here and not see somebody with a sticker or a T-shirt or a license plate that says Campbell on it, which when my dad was there in 57 or graduated from there in the 50s when it was a junior college, to think what it is now, it is pretty amazing. It is pretty amazing. And by the way, Patrick, I was the voice of Grove Stadium in 1999. For 1 year, I was the voice of the Demon Deacons. Unfortunately, I was on the microphone when they lost to App State for the first time. That's probably why I lost my job. So, anyway.
Okay. Patrick, but Sam, how much would you have loved to have broadcast from that beautiful Pope Center down there now? It's right where Professor Eric Brodine's house used to sit.
Yeah,
they tore that down and some other things and built that beautiful arena. How much would you have loved broadcasting from there?
Believe me, I would have. I was there when we had the first reunion for the 92 basketball team, and we got to sit up there in the president's box. The president's box at Campbell was those aluminum chairs on the front row in Carter Dome when we were there. But yeah, that thing is amazing. What they've done there with the baseball facility now, and to think that press box—it's probably the press box we have for baseball when I was there—is the size of the studio I'm in right now. Which, and now it's got a real press box. You've had a minor league baseball team even play there for a couple of years. It is amazing what has happened in Buies Creek. So, D. Stewart from the Stewart Group, Patrick Woody, president of the North Carolina Rural Center. Thanks for joining us, Patrick. We will definitely have to get you back on to talk about more of the issues that affect here in northeastern North Carolina. And D, we got to stay in touch and talk a little bit more about politics here real soon.
Go Cal.
I'd love to come back.
All right. Thank you all very much. Thanks. Have yourself a great weekend.
Thank you, Sam.